Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is September 6, 2019. This edition is brought to you by Paycademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about top Spanish soccer club will offer crypto fan tokens. Miss Finland, Bitcoin's risk keeps most women away from cryptocurrency. Mystery 94K BTC transaction becomes richest non-exchange address. Early tester finds both Binance futures platforms currently unusable. Bitcoin hit record inverse correlation to Chinese yuan in past week. Trump's trade war may be driving Chinese investors to Bitcoin. Messaging giant Line wins Japan license for crypto exchange business. New head of China's digital currency says it beats Facebook Libra on tech features. Bitcoin price may break longest weekly losing run since November. Leadership shakeup at Wasabi Wallet as Bitcoin business surges. The state of security token regulations in Asia. Now let's get started. Top Spanish soccer club will offer crypto fan tokens. Atlético de Madrid, a Spanish football, soccer, team, has partnered with Chili's, a sports blockchain, to create fan tokens, a platform that will give fans special access to team merchandise, information, and experiences. The team finished fourth in UEFA's club coefficients rankings for 2019 according to a release and will join other football teams like Juventus and West Ham United on the Socios.com fan platform. The Atlético de Madrid fan token will be priced at 2 and will be available exclusively through Socios.com in autumn 2019 for the 19-20 season. Fan tokens can also be hunted for free through the app's augmented reality geolocation feature Token Hunt, wrote the creators. Atlético de Madrid fan token holders will enjoy exclusive rights on the platform, including access to unique and exclusive experiences, promotions, draws and polls. Fans will also be able to get merchandise using the tokens and exchange tokens with each other using the app. Atlético de Madrid is just one of the many football clubs that took to the blockchain in the past 2 years. Top French league team, Paris Saint-Germain, issued its own cryptocurrency on Socios in 2018 and the platform plans on adding many more clubs to its roster. Our ambition is to build the world's biggest global football community and marketplace for football fans alongside demonstrating that blockchain and cryptocurrency is the trusted technology of the mainstream, said Alexander Dreyfus, CEO and founder last year. The platform avoids many of the complexities of cryptocurrency trading and instead acts as more of a fan support system that happens to use fan coins. Users can earn more tokens by taking polls on the app and gain prestige as they rise in the rankings of superfans. Miss Finland, Bitcoin's risk keeps most women away from cryptocurrency. Bitcoin, BTC, is less popular among women because they are less interested in risky investments, according to one of the cryptocurrency's best-known female proponents. RYYTI, women more risk-conscious in a Twitter discussion on September 5, Miss Universe Finland 2015 winner, Rosa Maria RYYTI, argued Bitcoin's risk factor made it more appealing to men. She was responding to a query by analyst and Cointelegraph contributor, Philb, who asked followers why the Bitcoin community was overwhelmingly male. Women are more risk-conscious in general and often go for a slow and steady investment strategy, RYYTI wrote, adding, the current general perception of Bitcoin in the MSM makes it even less probable for the average women and men to get involved. Is crypto shifting the gender balance? Data currently available suggests around 90% of Bitcoin users are male. The phenomenon has frequently sparked debate, with dedicated structures set up in order to increase female involvement. In June, Cointelegraph reported that 5% of GitHub commits involving cryptocurrency code came from women. Conversely, a report the following month suggested that out of all crypto holders in Europe, as many as 20% are female. RYYTI herself rose to prominence more recently, participating in the Lightning Torch Bitcoin transaction relay earlier this year. Mystery 94 KBTC transaction becomes richest non-exchange address. The recipient wallet of the $1 billion Bitcoin BTC transaction on September 6 is now presumed to be the first richest non-exchange address. The recipient wallet of the massive 94,504 Bitcoin $1.031 billion transaction is the top richest Bitcoin address that is not reportedly associated with any crypto-related company, according to data from monitoring resource BitInfoCharts. A third of the coins came from Huobi. According to data by London-based blockchain data provider TokenAnalyst, at least one-third of the mysterious transaction directly originates from Huobi Exchange. Another analyst, blockchain data and metrics firm Glassnode, tweeted that at least 73,000 BTC from the transaction originate from Huobi. According to an earlier tweet by Crypto Herpes Cat, at least two Bitcoin wallets involved in the notable transaction belong to Huobi. One of the specified wallets is directly involved in the transaction. Rumors run wild. As reported earlier today, crypto monitoring resource Whale Alert stated that the much-discussed transaction did not involve any known wallets or those belonging to any specific crypto exchange or any crypto-related firm. Some analysts suggested that funds may be tied to institutional trading platform Bakkt, which starts accepting client deposits today. Meanwhile, Huobi, which is ranked 20th biggest crypto exchange by adjusted daily trading volume at press time, was reported to have seen the highest number of withdrawals from the alleged crypto Ponzi scheme PlusToken by August 23. Huobi did not respond to Cointelegraph's inquiry about the transfer by press time. Early tester finds both Binance futures platforms currently unusable. Bitcoin futures offerings from cryptocurrency exchange Binance have come in for criticism as a pre-release tester identifies major flaws. Rocky start for Binance PR move. In a series of tweets on September 6, the account known as DoubleJump said both the options currently under consideration by Binance lacked basic features, which are essential for ease of use. As Cointelegraph reported, Binance has released two separate versions of its futures trading platform for testing by users, and plans to reward those who test and correctly vote for the winner. Platform A came from Binance's own development team, while Platform B stemmed from Exchange Jex, which Binance recently bought. According to DoubleJump, however, neither is currently fit for purpose. Platform A is unusable because of its contract size granularity, but does have a nice interface and decent specifications otherwise. Platform B is not documented well and has an unwieldy leverage system, the account summarized. Competition on the horizon. Further doubts focused on Binance's choice of reference for Bitcoin, BTC, exchange rates. DoubleJump noted the sources include HitBTC, while others involve Huobi, Bittrex and Binance itself. While it remains unknown when the futures platform will launch, competition is set to increase this month with the launch of Bakkt's physically traded futures. This week, meanwhile, Binance found itself in hot water after it emerged its futures documentation was copied from an existing offering by derivatives giant BitMEX. Bitcoin hit record inverse correlation to Chinese yuan in past week. Bitcoin price has seen a record inverse correlation with the Chinese yuan (CNY) this week, according to an analysis from Bloomberg on September 6. This suggests that investors are using the digital currency as a hedge against the yuan's falling value. Weakening yuan causes price premium on Bitcoin in China. Further evidence that Bitcoin is being used as a hedge in China can be seen in the higher prices being paid in local exchanges when the yuan fell. According to London School of Economics researcher, Dr. Garrick Heilman, you can see it in the premium price paid sometimes for Bitcoin in exchanges like Huobi that primarily cater to Chinese. Factors such as the ongoing trade war with the United States and central bank monetary easing policy are contributing to a weaker CNY, USD. However, a court ruling in July that Bitcoin was a protected virtual asset and legal in China has added to its lure as a hedge. In addition, businesses in Hong Kong are also increasingly adopting Bitcoin as a form of protest. Inverse correlation has increased as trade relations have deteriorated. The correlation first became more evident in April and May, amid rising tensions in the trade war between China and the U.S. The current magnitude of the inverse movement is similar to that of gold against Brent crude oil futures. Gold prices also tend to rise when crude oil futures are dropping. Trump's trade war may be driving Chinese investors to Bitcoin. As the Chinese yuan falls in value due to factors like the ongoing trade war with the U.S., there are signs that locals are increasingly moving funds into Bitcoin. According to a Bloomberg analysis of prices over 30 days, the negative correlation between the yuan and Bitcoin has fallen to a record low in the last 7 days. While previously the Chinese government has sought to keep the value of its national currency above 7 Chinese yuan to the dollar, last month the yuan was allowed to slide below that level, dropping to its lowest for 10 years. The move was reportedly in response to U.S. President Donald Trump's threats in early August to impose a 10% tariff on Chinese imports. That the drop in yuan value is causing a flight by Chinese investors is backed up by exchange data. Bloomberg spoke to Dr. Garrick Heilman, research director at Blockchain and CoinDesk contributor, who said that Bitcoin prices on exchanges such as Huobi that cater more to Chinese traders are trading at a premium. The inverse correlation between Bitcoin and the yuan also notched up in April and May as the tensions ratcheted up with the deterioration on U.S.-China trade relations, Heilman said. The report comes as new details emerge on China's own national digital currency. The recently appointed chief of the Digital Currency Division of the People's Bank of China has said the upcoming digital yuan will have features not offered by Facebook Libra. Messaging giant LINE wins Japan license for crypto exchange business. LINE, provider of Japan's most popular messaging app, has just been approved for a cryptocurrency business license in the country. The news, reported by CoinDesk Japan on Friday, means it will be able to offer its crypto exchange services in Japan where it has 80 million monthly active users. The new platform is to be called Bitbox, according to the company. The license was awarded by Japan's Financial Services Agency, which indicated on its website that the registration was completed on September 6 in the name of LVC Corp., which oversees LINE's digital asset and blockchain business units. LINE President Takeshi Tozawa also disclosed completed FSA registration to the Tokyo Stock Exchange today, as per the report. The messaging firm said last month it's aiming to build a token economy around its own blockchain Link chain. It will offer two tokens LINE Point in Japan and Link for other nations aimed to connect users and service providers. 5 decentralized dApps, decentralized applications, will soon be launched across categories including prediction, Q&A, product review, food review and location review using social media. LINE said at the time that it aims to flatten the relationship structure between users and service providers to promote co-creation and mutual growth. CoinDesk Japan also reports that impending legislative changes will soon have an impact on Japan's crypto exchanges. Revisions to laws related to cryptocurrencies scheduled for spring 2020 will mean cryptocurrency transactions and trading will be subject to the regulation of the Financial Instruments and Exchange Act. Further, in addition to the virtual currency exchange business license, crypto firms will have to register as first-class financial instruments businesses under the new regime. New head of China's digital currency says it beats Facebook Libra on tech features. The Chinese central bank has a new digital currency chief who says its upcoming digital yuan has features not offered by Facebook Libra. Changchun Yu, previously deputy director of the Payments and Settlement Division at the People's Bank of China, PBOC, recently stepped into the lead role at the Digital Currency Research Institute, reports Shanghai Securities News. According to the state-run news source, Mew recently published details on PBOC's digital currency apparently being carried out in a secret office away from the bank's Beijing headquarters, describing it as a digital currency and electronic payment tool with value characteristics. Its functional attributes are exactly the same as paper money, but it is just a digital form, Mew said. Perhaps most notably, he set out some of the digital currency's technical aspects, and compared it with Facebook's Libra. PBOC's digital yuan will be able to be transferred between users without an account and without a mobile or internet network, the report cites Mew as saying. Providing a user's mobile phone has a wallet, the digital currency can be transferred to another person by placing the two phones in physical contact. Presumably, this feature is enabled by near-field communication, NFC. Even Libra can't do this, Mew said. PBOC's digital currency also doesn't need a bank account to be used, and is free from the control of the traditional bank account system, Shanghai Securities News cites Mew as saying. He further suggested it allows users to preserve their privacy when using the system. However, the digital currency will be delivered via commercial banks like fiat currency. The banks must open accounts with the PBOC and buy the token at 100% value. After that, users may open digital wallets for the digital currency through the banks or commercial organizations. According to the report, Mew added that the main reason for developing the digital currency is planning ahead to protect monetary sovereignty and China's legal currency. That may be a hint that the advent of Facebook's Libra is behind the sudden rush of development at the central bank. Former People's Bank of China, PBOC, Governor Zhou Xiaochuan said in July that Libra has introduced a concept that will impact the traditional cross-border business and payment system. As such, China should make good preparations and make the Chinese yuan a stronger currency, Zhou said. Bitcoin price may break longest weekly losing run since November. View: Bitcoin is likely to end the current week, Sunday, UTC, on a positive note, having registered losses in the previous 3 weeks. Prices are currently up 10% on a month-to-date basis. The weekly gain could be much bigger if prices invalidate a bearish lower highs pattern with a UTC close above $10,956, August 20th high. BTC may end the week on a flat note or with losses below $9,767 Monday's opening price if the recent trading range of $10,400 to $10,800 is breached to the downside. A range breakdown would put the bears in a commanding position and open the doors for a drop below $10,000. Bitcoin, BTC, is flashing gains on a week-to-date basis and appears on track to end its longest 7-day losing run in 9 months. The top cryptocurrency is currently trading at $10,750, representing 10% gains on the weekly Monday opening price of $9,767, according to Bitstamp data. The price rise is preceded by three consecutive weekly losses. The cryptocurrency fell 3.67% in the 7 days to August 31, having dropped 10.49% and 1.77% in the preceding 2 weeks. BTC last chalked out losses for three straight weeks in November 2018. Back then, the cryptocurrency had dropped 1, 12.56 and 29.15% in the first, second and the third week, respectively. November 2018 sell-off saw prices nosedive from $6,544 to $3,474. BTC revived the bear market or the sell-off from the record high of $20,000 with a drop below $6,000 in the second week of November. Prices bottomed out at $3,122 in December. Compared to that, the latest losing streak looks less damaging and is a part of a multi-week consolidation, representing bullish exhaustion following a stellar rally from $4,000 to $13,800 in the second quarter. If prices print a UTC close above $9,767 on Sunday, the three-week downward trend will end. Meanwhile, BTC will chart its first four-week losing run in 3 years if prices close below $9,767 on Sunday. That said, BTC is likely to eke out weekly gains, according to historical data. As seen above, BTC charted multiple three-week losing runs throughout the 2018 bear market. However, despite the strong bearish mood, the cryptocurrency repeatedly managed to stall the sell-off by scoring gains in the fourth week, although more often than not, the relief was short-lived. As of now, BTC is in a bull market. Further, trading volumes dropped over the last 3 weeks, a sign of a bear trap. That said, the probability of BTC closing the week with losses or on a flat note will rise if the recent trading range of $400 is breached to the downside in the next 24 hours or so. BTC has been largely restricted to a $10,400 to $10,800 trading range above left since September 3. Essentially, the rally from August 29's low of $9,360 has run out of steam. A high-volume break above $10,800 would imply a resumption of the rally from $9,360 and could yield a break above $11,000. A more reliable indicator of bullish revival would be a UTC close above the lower high of $10,956 created on August 20, above right, as discussed yesterday. A bullish close above $10,956, if confirmed, would open the doors to $12,000. The weekly gain could be much higher than the current 10% if prices close above $10,956 today or tomorrow. The weekly gain, however, would be meager, or the cryptocurrency may close the week in the red if prices drop below $10,400 with high volumes. A high-volume range breakdown would mean victory for the sellers in the ongoing tug-of-war with the bulls. As a result, prices could fall back into four figures more so, as key weekly indicators like the moving average convergence divergence histogram have turned bearish for the first time since February. Leadership shakeup at Wasabi Wallet as Bitcoin business surges. One of Bitcoin's most experimental startups has grown dramatically over the past year, highlighting both the opportunities and pitfalls of open-source development. Now Adam Fixor, co-founder of ZK Snacks, the firm behind the privacy-centric Wasabi Wallet, is stepping down from his role as CTO to focus on research as the company matures. "I was just reviewing other people's code and managing people, and that's not what I am good at. I am good at coding and researching privacy," Fixor said. "It's getting to the point of being a serious business and we have to be more conservative." Wasabi Wallet launched in August 2018, then garnered more than 36 open-source contributors via GitHub. As a bootstrapped startup that strove to embody the Bitcoin's decentralized ethos, managing contributions is central to Wasabi's development. There are now 5 ZK Snacks developers reviewing external submissions as part of the effort to reduce Fixor's cornerstone role in the project. The move to a new CTO follows a bitter feud with Wasabi's rival, Samurai Wallet, which published critiques of Wasabi's trademark CoinJoin feature in August. This mixing feature collects pending Bitcoin transactions, then sends them out in a mixed bunch, so it's harder to identify the source of each transaction. After the backlash sparked by Samurai critique, DVIDMOLNR, incoming ZK Snacks CTO, told CoinDesk that Wasabi users clearly require more documentation to avoid confusion. Plus, he added, code should be written in a standardized way that is easier for people to read, regardless of its functionality. "Adam and me have the same coding style. But when we started the contribution game, we also had to write documents about how to code for Wasabi," MOLNR said, referring to a summer campaign that attracted 15 developers to review code and offer potential solutions. "I plan to continue this procedure." Today, the ZK Snacks staff includes nearly 20 employees, including several developers who went from being volunteer contributors to official contractors paid with Bitcoin earnings from the CoinJoin feature. According to Fixor, wallet transaction fees earned the startup 8 Bitcoin in May, 10 Bitcoin in June, and 14 Bitcoin in July 2019, with the latter alone being worth roughly $149,000 on September 4. "The first 6 months were pretty painful. We had to pay everyone from our pockets and we weren't sure we'd survive. But now we have considerable income and we don't need to look for investors anymore," Fixor said, adding that the newest version of Wasabi, released in July 2019, has 13,000 downloads so far. Industry impact. Mixing features from both Wasabi and Samurai have become increasingly popular in 2019. Samurai comparable Whirlpool feature has seen 3,201 transactions since April 2019, according to data from the Bitcoin blockchain. That's slightly more than Wasabi's 2,810 CoinJoins in the same time frame. Wasabi has facilitated a total of 5,286 CoinJoin transactions since launching in August 2018. However, the latter often involves more participants per transaction. Still, Bitcoin consultant Udi Wertheimer argued that Wasabi has set the tone for privacy features across the industry. The analytics firm Chainalysis reportedly estimated during a webinar that Wasabi alone was responsible for mixing $90 million worth of Bitcoin in August 2019. In part, Wertheimer told CoinDesk this uptick came because Wasabi offered the first CoinJoin implementation that's easy enough to use that a motivated non-technical user could make use of it. These CoinJoin transactions can combine a variety of privacy-focused techniques, depending on the user's sophistication, which is why users are willing to pay fees of up to 5% per transaction. I think the business model for Wasabi is very unique, because they manage to generate revenue while minimizing trust, Wertheimer said. The Wasabi server is generating real value and has real network effect, that's why users are willing to pay for it. It's also where the rivalry comes from, as upstarts have to try compete with that advantage. While MOLNR said he is focusing on fostering robust contributions and stabilizing the product, which is currently slow and glitchy, Fixor will work on integrating Bitcoin node features directly into the wallet. We want to bring Bitcoin Core into Wasabi desktop in a way that you just click a checkbox and have a full node operating from then on, Fixor said. Also, as the blockchain fees go up, this way of mixing with Wasabi is not going to be economical. We have to figure out what is the most optimal algorithm for mixing with Wasabi. The state of security token regulations in Asia. This essay is presented as a part of No Closing Bell, a series leading up to Invest Asia 2019 focused on how the Asian crypto markets are interacting with and impacting global investors. To keep the conversation going in person, register for Invest Asia 2019 coming up in Singapore on September 11th-12. Since the cryptocurrency boom and initial coin offering craze of 2017, many countries in Asia have taken steps to clarify their regulations surrounding cryptocurrencies and security tokens. In this article, we focus on the three countries that have the clearest regulations in place regarding digital assets, though there is still more work to be done. Thailand. Within Asia, Thailand has by far the most well-defined legislations in place to govern security token offerings and exchanges. In May 2018, the Thai government has published its digital asset decree that establishes the necessary requirements for a business to offer or provide operations for digital assets. The decree covers both cryptocurrencies as well as digital tokens and is overseen by the Securities and Exchange Commission of Thailand, SEC Thailand. The decree clearly segments between primary issuance activities, i.e. fundraising, applicable to token offerers and issuers, and secondary market activities, i.e. trading, applicable to token exchange and trade-related intermediaries. With the decree enacted, Thailand has also established three types of licenses. Digital Asset Exchange License, Digital Asset Broker License, and Digital Asset Dealer License. These licenses lay out the specific activities that businesses can participate in. The exchange license is applicable to a center or network established for the purposes of trading or exchanging of digital assets. The broker license is applicable to any person who provides services as a broker or an agent with respect to the trading or exchange of digital assets. The dealer license is applicable to any person who provides services with respect to the trading or exchange of digital assets for its own account outside the digital asset exchange. Separately, the digital asset decree has restricted token issuances to be done only through approved ICO portals. Thailand has also specifically set out a list of approved cryptocurrencies that may be accepted as investment capital for ICOs, and to be paired with other assets on digital asset exchanges, BTC, ETH, XRP, XLM. Presently, Thailand's Ministry of Finance, under the recommendation of SEC Thailand, has approved 5.3 brokers digital asset brokers, 1 dealer, and 3 ICO portals. There is more work to be done. Thailand hasn't established clear guidelines regarding custody requirements for digital asset and cryptocurrency businesses. Today it is unclear as to whether existing standards applicable to securities should be applicable to digital assets, or if new guidelines and regulations will be established in future. Singapore. Singapore's de facto central bank, the Monetary Authority of Singapore, issued a set of guidelines last November entitled A Guide to Digital Token Offerings. This clarifies what type of digital assets fall under Singapore's Securities and Futures Act (SFA). If the digital tokens constitute capital markets products as defined in the SFA, i.e. securities, derivatives contracts etc., they are regulated under the SFA. In these cases, the existing relevant licenses apply, based on the activities performed by the businesses, whether as a token issuer, exchange platform, advisor or otherwise. For example, a security token issuance platform must operate under a Capital Markets Services (CMS) license for the purpose of dealing in capital markets products, which includes securities. A digital asset exchange that facilitates trading in security tokens must operate under a license as either an approved exchange or a recognized market operator. Unlike Thailand, the SFA in Singapore only applies to digital assets that fall under the definition of capital markets products. Other digital tokens may be classified as payment tokens, e.g. Bitcoin, Ether, and fall under the Payment Services Act, PSA, which is estimated to take effect in late 2019 and has a separate set of licenses. With both the SFA and PSA active, we can expect that digital asset companies will have a clearer set of regulations to comply with, in line with securities and payment regulations. However, just like Thailand, custody requirements are still unclear at the moment. Given that the existing CMS license covers custodial services for securities, we expect that digital asset custodians will need to operate under a CMS license. Singapore's government and related entities have further shown commitment and enthusiasm for developing the industry. In particular, last November, MAS granted a recognized market operator (RMO) license to One Exchange, Singapore's first private securities exchange that facilitates digital token trading. Singapore's flagship stock exchange SGX is an investor in One Exchange. The MAS is currently working with fintech businesses in a regulatory sandbox environment to figure out the missing pieces, and we expect to see updates within the next 6 months. It is clear that the Singapore government is supportive of the growth of the digital assets industry, and it continues to build the ecosystem. Hong Kong. Serving as one of Asia's key financial hubs, Hong Kong is also establishing its regulations for the crypto scene. In September 2017, the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission (HKSFC) released a statement on ICOs. Then last November, it published a statement and a circular on the regulatory framework for virtual asset portfolio managers, fund distributors, and trading platform operators. The HKSFC uses the terminology of virtual asset, which it defines as a digital representation of value, which is also known as cryptocurrency, crypto asset or digital token. The new publications provide more regulatory clarity with respect to investment and management of funds investing in digital assets. In March 2019, the HKSFC released a statement on security token offerings, reminding operators that where security tokens are securities, unless an applicable exemption applies, any person who markets and distributes security tokens, whether in Hong Kong or targeting Hong Kong investors, is required to be licensed or registered for Type 1 regulated activity, dealing in securities, under the Securities and Futures Ordinance, SFO. However, Hong Kong is still conceptualizing how it should regulate digital asset exchange platforms. Through its November 2018 publications, SFC called for exchange operators to come forward and join its regulatory sandbox in order to determine the type of license to be granted to exchange operators. Exchange operators may need to be regulated by the SFC and require SFO Type 1, dealing in securities, and Type 7, provision of automated trading services, licenses. Per current regulations, custodial activities are not regulated by the SFC, but entities acting as custodians have to be set up as a public trust company and apply for the Trust or Company Service Provider, TCSP, license, issued by the Hong Kong Companies Registry. It still remains unclear as to whether there will be separate guidelines for digital asset custodians, or if today's regulations, applicable to traditional custodians, shall be applicable to digital asset custodians as well. Conclusion. Other governments in the Asia-Pacific region have also taken various steps towards defining a clearer scope of regulatory requirements for digital assets. For example, in the Philippines, the government has set up the Cagayan Economic Zone Authority, which oversees a special economic zone that focuses on fintech and crypto-related businesses. In tandem, in February, the Securities and Exchange Commission of the Philippines issued draft regulations around digital asset and token offerings, and proposed rules for exchanges. Malaysia has regulations similar to those in Singapore, and is also working on adapting these to cover digital assets. Plenty of ambiguities exist within today's legal frameworks, often because they were designed for a non-digital world. Yet technology marches on. Today, larger and larger organizations from finance and technology sectors are building cryptocurrency and blockchain platforms. Such moves have increased the urgency for governments to understand and regulate digital assets, in order to keep up with the ever-changing realities of business. Although it remains to be seen how the STO and crypto scene will ultimately shape up globally, we expect to see more regulatory developments soon. One thing we can be certain of is that the bulk of the action and innovation will be driven from Asia. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.